I'm going to read for you a quotation from a book of the Bible this morning. And then I'm going to ask you some questions about it. And I'm not telling you which book it is. You've probably figured it out by now. But we are exhorted in this book to live by faith, and we certainly need to do that. The writer of the book said this, O Lord, how long must I call for help before you will listen? How many of you have ever felt that way? Huh? Yeah. I shout to you in vain. There's no answer. Help! Murder, I cry, but no one comes to save. I cry, but no one comes to save. Must I forever see this sin and sadness all around me? Wherever I look, I see oppression and bribery and men who love to argue and fight. The law is not enforced, and there is no justice given in the courts. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, and bribes and trickery prevail. So I'm going to give you some multiple choice this morning. Was this written 10 years ago? 70 years ago? 300 years ago? Or none of the above? Huh? That's right. It was actually written in the book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament, which we will be looking at today. It was written 2,600 years ago. But doesn't it sound like it was written yesterday or this morning? What this passage of Scripture says seems like Habakkuk had a situation much like our own. And so he's crying out to God. He's crying out to God. And he doesn't feel like God is listening too much to him. So as we look at the book of Habakkuk this morning, it's only three chapters. It's about 10 pages from the end of the Old Testament, if you have a difficulty finding the book of Habakkuk. And I would encourage you to read the book of Habakkuk this week, maybe every day. It's only three chapters long. We relate. How many times do we pray, God, when are you going to straighten out this mess? When are you going to come again? When are you going to raise up some people who know what in the world they're doing and are able to get us out of all of this woke concept, along with other concepts that are right beside woke? And next Sunday afternoon at about 4 o'clock, I'll be doing a refresher course on woke. By the way, the word woke simply means it's another slang term for what is. Or wake up is actually what the slang term means. So at 4 o'clock next Sunday afternoon, we'll be doing that. Bring some finger food and we'll have a little fellowship afterwards. How many times do you feel like that? I have felt that way for quite some time. God, where are you? What are you doing? Are you asleep? What has happened? And then I have to come to the conclusion that God knows what in the world he's doing. Don't you see what's going on, Lord? We certainly do. Or we think we do. Why don't you do something? Where is God in a world like the one we live in? Does he care? Well, I know he cares. If God is in control, How can he let things happen and get to the place where they are today? This is the third sermon from the Old Testament that we have been in talking about. The first one was Noah, who lived in a world of extreme wickedness, a world so bad that people could not even think a good thought. I tried to stretch my imagination to wonder what it must have been like to live in a world where people constantly thought evil, could not muster up a good thought. And then in the midst of that, he's instructed to build an ark, which took 120 years. But he was faithful in doing that. And God blessed him and his family. And then last week we talked about Elijah, an ordinary guy. The scripture says he was just like us. He was a sinner, just like us. And yet God used him in a profound way. And God can use you and he can use me, no matter how sinful and how ordinary we are. God is ready to use anybody who is willing. The big question is, are we willing? Elijah was willing. And he stood firm for God. In fact, he went up against 450 false prophets all by himself. No, not really. Elijah plus God is a winning team. And we want to remember that God is with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He promises that he will always be with us. But we have to be willing, as Elijah was willing, to be used by the hand of God. So Habakkuk lived in a world a lot like ours, a world filled with wickedness, wars, no justice. Habakkuk asked God the same type of questions we ask. God, where are you? What are you doing? Why don't you manifest yourself? Why don't you come forth? Why don't you clear up this mess that we have? Habakkuk is basically a condensed book of what we experience right now, today, in the United States of America and across the world. Let me encourage you one more time to read Habakkuk this week, all three chapters. There's another slide that I want to read from Habakkuk 1, 5 through 7. Now, this is God's answer. This is not an answer that I wanted, would want, but this is what God said to Habakkuk. After Habakkuk complains, groans, and moans, and lets God know how unhappy he is with what's going on around him, the Lord replied, "Look and be amazed." So now God is telling Habakkuk what he's going to do. "For I am doing something in your own day, something you wouldn't believe." Oh my. Get ready. "I'm raising up the Babylonians, a cruel and violent people." And if you study the Babylonians in secular history, or in the scripture, you find exactly what this passage of scripture is telling us. "I'm raising up the Babylonians, a cruel and violent people. They will march across the world and conquer other lands. They are notorious for their cruelty and do whatever they like." Habakkuk 1, verses 5 through 7. Well, isn't that exciting? Huh? Habakkuk does all of this complaining. Where are you, God? And God says, here I am, and here's what I'm going to do. You certainly weren't expecting this. I'm going to raise up the Babylonians. They are an evil people, a terrible people. And I'm going to raise them up, and they're going to march across your land. Oh, no. That's not what Habakkuk was looking for at all. He wanted God to come and say, well, I'll take care of it. You just sit in your rocking chair, and I'll take care of all the situation that you're concerned about. But no, he does the exact opposite. I'm going to raise up the Babylonians. And, of course, Habakkuk's response was, I do not understand. How can you do that? I mean, we are more righteous than the Babylonians. How could you possibly raise up the Babylonians against us? We aren't perfect, but we are goody-two-shoes. We don't do a whole lot of things that the Babylonians do. We aren't as evil as the Babylonians. We aren't as evil as the northern kingdom. We are the southern kingdom, and we are much better. So how can you do that? He was not a happy camper. As I studied this, I hadn't asked myself a few questions. Do I know and trust the character of God? Do I really believe that God knows what he's doing? We sometimes just grow deadly silent. Does he really know what he's doing? If we were in control, it wouldn't be the way it is now. It'd probably be a whole lot worse. But Habakkuk was put in a pretty difficult situation. Let me ask you the same question. Do you know God well enough to fully rely on him no matter what happens? I can't tell you who's going to win the election. I can't tell you who to vote for. But I can update you on woke and some other things. And maybe you've already voted, but maybe it would help you in explaining what's going on right in front of our very eyes to help somebody else as they have the opportunity to vote on November 5th. God's beloved Son came to this earth to die for each and every one of us. He hasn't left us. Sometimes it seems like it, though. It seems like maybe he's asleep. And in Peter, the scripture says, well, where in the world is this guy? He said he was going to come again, but a couple thousand years have passed, and he hasn't appeared yet. He hasn't done anything of a significant nature. But never forget that God is always at work, and he's never late. He knows what he's doing, when he's doing, and how he's doing it. But that is something that Habakkuk did not yet understand. We need to remind ourselves of God's character. That's certainly what Habakkuk needed to do. We don't need to be afraid of tomorrow. We don't need to be afraid of who's going to win the election. God is still with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He knows exactly what's going on. And he knows the future of the church. He knows your future. And tell you, the churches in America are having a difficult time now. 45,000 Christian people do not vote. 45,000. Did you know that there have been 9 elections where the election was won or lost by one vote? One vote. And you say, well, I don't like any of them. Well, let me tell you, is there anybody you know that you endorse 100%? I don't even endorse my wife 100%. To say nothing of the fact that she doesn't endorse me 100% either. So you may have to vote for somebody you may not like too well, whoever that might be. You only have a couple choices. We need to remind ourselves over and over and over that God's character is perfect. He is the only one that we can say, I can't find any fault with him. Habakkuk kind of felt like he was finding some real problems with the Lord. And so he had a plan in his mind. This is from Habakkuk 1:17. O Lord my God, my Holy One. Notice he's going to butter up God now. My Holy One. You who are eternal. If I say enough good things about God, maybe he'll listen better to me. Surely you do not plan to wipe us out. You can't do that. O Lord, our rock, you have sent these Babylonians to correct us, to punish us for our many sins. But you are pure. You can't really do that because you're so pure. And cannot stand the sight of evil. So why in the world would you raise up the Babylonians who are nothing but evil? Will you wink at their treachery? Is that what you're going to do, God? Should you be silent while the wicked swallow up people more righteous than they? Remember, he's now getting to that place. We are more righteous. You can't raise up somebody like the Babylonians because we are certainly more righteous than the Babylonians. We're good boys and girls. No, not really. Should you be silent while the wicked swallow up people more righteous than they? Will you let them get away with this forever? From Habakkuk 1, verses 5 through 7. See what he's doing? He's buttering up God. God, you're really great. You can't really do this because you can't raise up those Babylonians and have them come against us because, God, you are eternal. We are righteous people, and you just can't do anything like that to us. Amen? That's how we think. That's not how God thinks. He sees every crack, every problem, every nuance, every attitude, every word spoken that shouldn't be spoken. He sees that. When we face sickness, sadness, times of discouragement, we want God to work right now. We don't want to wait. We're the kind of people who want everything right now. God doesn't work that way. He never has worked that way, and he will not work that way. He works according to his own timetable. He is God, and we are not. I've said that 1,000 times. But he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. So bottom line is, as righteous people, we are to live by faith. This is the key of the whole book of Habakkuk, that as God's people, as Christians who say we love the Lord, we are to trust Him and to live by faith. As Christians, the greatest principle of our lives should be to live by faith. But that's hard for us, isn't it? You lose your job, you live by faith. The bank that you bank with closes up and you can't get your money. You're going to live by faith? What are you going to do? Go bananas? Probably. The righteous will live by faith. When things are good, well, we're excited. The righteous then can live by faith easily because things are good. But when all hell seems to break loose, then it's a whole nother story as to whether we're going to live by faith or not. In Galatians, the third chapter, in the 11th verse, I'll get to that. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. That's in Romans 1:17. That's taught many times throughout the scripture. And then in Galatians 3:11, clearly no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by
faith.
Hey, you're getting it. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Those who come to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So after all of this situation, what does Habakkuk decide to do? It's found in Habakkuk 1:17. I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how He will answer my complaint. Do you remember a few years ago, you probably have to be as old as I am, when getting up on a tower or sitting on a post was a popular thing that people did. When they were trying to influence the government, when they're trying to influence some situation, they would get up on their tower and people would haul some food up to them. And sometimes they stayed on those towers for quite a long time. They wanted people to pay attention to what they were doing and what they were saying. They were trying to influence their situation by spending time on their guard post. You know, God could let you sit on that guard post forever, because that's not going to change God's mind. You can fast for 40 days and 40 nights. That isn't going to change God's plan. It might change you and it might change me, but it won't change God. Because God knows exactly what He's doing, when He's going to do it, and how He's going to do it. So, here's what Habakkuk 12:2 says. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I tell you what, if you'll read carefully the book of Habakkuk, it will really, definitely bless you. In chapter 3, Habakkuk praises God for who he is and what he has done. Everything of and all of creation shouts the glory of God. Don't close your eyes to that. Habakkuk really got to understand that God is God and we are not. He's in charge. And he's going to work things out after the counsel of his own precious will. We'd like to squeeze him a little bit. We'll do it by buttering him up. Well, God, you are too pure. You can't see the evil that the Babylonians do. You're too pure for that. Well, not so. Habakkuk's faith in God now supersedes all of his fears. This is perhaps one of the most powerful verses in Scripture, found in Habakkuk 3, 17 through 18. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, this is finally how Habakkuk works through this whole situation, complaining about God. And in the end, this is what he concludes. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Now think about that. Everything goes crazy. There's nothing. But his conclusion is, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Well, let's rewrite that for our area. If my wheat isn't even worth harvesting, if the corn crop totally dries up, and if my cattle, pigs, sheep all get sick and die, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful to God my Savior. I will have his heart in my heart, and I will live by faith in God. I'm so thankful that Habakkuk worked through this whole thing. He started out with a great many complaints. He started out wondering if God knew what in the world he was doing. And in the end, one of the greatest verses in all of Scripture, though the fig tree does not bud, no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, no harvest, though there are no sheep in the pen and the cattle die, they're no longer in the stalls. They're dead. They stink. They're filled with flies. If all of that happens, here's what Habakkuk says. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. That's a passage of Scripture that we need to commit to memory. And we need to look at our own circumstances from that perspective. No matter what happens, if my children have to live under wokeism and communism, if we have to live under that for a period of time, like Habakkuk, I will be joyful in the God, in God my Savior. I will rejoice in Him. Of course, I know how I'm praying. I don't know whether God's going to answer my prayer. I'm trying to butter Him up a little bit too. You know, you're too evil. This whole situation is too evil for you. You can't put your eyes on that. Well, God can. He can take care of whatever situation we are in. And the same is true if it were to happen to us individually in our situation in Northwest Kansas. If there's no wheat to harvest, we're pretty dry. We need some rain. People tell me they're drilling in wheat in dust. If the corn is tritely, if the corn totally dries up, if all the cattle, pigs, sheep, and ducks and chickens die, they get sick. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I'm not saying that that's easy, because it isn't. If everything you have is suddenly wiped out, Habakkuk's conclusion was, I still live by faith in God. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I really don't. Sometimes I think I do, and then the more I think about it, the more I'm sure that I don't. But whatever it is, the admonition for you and for me is to live by faith in God. Can we do that? Can we do that?
Yes.
Amen. That's what we need to do. And boy, these are challenging times in which we live, no different than what Habakkuk was facing, no different than what Elijah was facing, no different than what Noah was facing when he was told to build an ark and it took him 120 years. Man, I would have been tired a long time before 120 years building an ark. And yet he did that and he trusted the Lord. So no matter what happens in the next few months, it's our responsibility to trust in Him. You can try the things that Habakkuk tried. You can say, well, God, we're better than that. You can't look upon us like you would look upon the Babylonians, because they're really an evil people, and we're not. We're pretty good folks. Well, that's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So buck up and get ready for whatever comes across, that the Lord would be glorified in us and we would live by faith and not by sight. Our closing hymn this morning is Live by Faith. What better way is there than to trust in the Lord with all your heart? So let's be standing as we sing together. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above Him there is no other. Jesus is the way.